Throughout this Advent season, we have been reflecting on the idea and theme of holiday harmony. At its simplest, harmony is the coming together of different parts in a way that makes everything more beautiful. It's the musical equivalent of that axiom that the whole can be greater than the sum of its parts. And I have enjoyed weaving in these musical allusions into the sermons in recent weeks. Phrases like, instead of the awkward juxtaposition of what our hearts long for and what we experience in a world of exile, we are invited to place our longings next to God's vision and find them to be in perfect harmony. Or as we spoke of peace, the idea that such inner peace, a harmony within our souls, allows difference to exist outside and around us without threatening or invalidating us. Last week, as we reflected on love, the reality of God's love expressed in Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, is a harmonious happening to be sung out, celebrated, and shared in word and deed. Even our prayers each week have ended with that phrase, the harmony of these holy days. It's been fun to weave in these musical allusions and play off of this idea of harmony. Because it's a lovely metaphor. Because even if you don't have a music background, we've all been conditioned to understand that harmony is about being together and living in peace. In peace and harmony. Right, it's there that we get that idea. Everybody doing their part, making something beautiful by being just who they are. Isn't it just swell? Yesterday was my annual high school choir reunion. I don't get excited for like the actual high school reunions, but I get excited for the choir reunion because those were my people. And we get together and we sing this Christmas medley that every single year of choir kids sang. And so it doesn't matter if you graduated 6 years before me or 7 years after me. We all know the Christmas medley. We get together, we sing it. It's a wonderful time. I tell you, it's nearly 20 years later and I still know almost all of the bass parts to every single one of those songs. Those songs kick in, and I know exactly how to fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la all the way through. I even still know the jingle, jingle, jingle bell part, right? Like, it was a show choir. There was up, there was down, there were jazz hands. At our first choir reunion, it had been nearly 15 years since I'd sung any of those songs. And the music came on, and I realized I still knew almost all of the parts. And not because I have some sort of brilliant musical memory. It's because they were drilled into us through constant, non-glorious repetition year after year after year. For all of its beautiful, wondrous sound, harmony has a dark side. Those without the melody can tell you all about it. In fact, Marla, you're a choir director. Come here for a minute. Marla's going to help me with something. What I'm going to do is Marla's going to sing All I Want for Christmas Is You. But Marla is going to show you what it's like to live through Christmas music as an alto.
Is it on? Hello. Hello. Hi. Hi, I'm Marla. Is you.
Isn't harmony beautiful? Or then there's other pieces. Interestingly enough, Pachelbel's Canon somehow became a Christmas song a few years ago when the Trans-Siberian Orchestra got a choir of children together to sing, night, on this night, on this night, on this very Christmas night. Maybe you know the Pachelbel's Canon, great, one-hit wonder of like the 1700s. It's a beautiful piece. William, William, you got the violin. This will be fun. Let's show, here's the thing about Pachelbel's canon. The rumor is that Pachelbel dated a cellist and that she broke his heart and that he never forgave her for that because, well, actually, William, why don't you show people what the beautiful music sounds like? Oh, it's so nice. That violin part and its beautiful movement. And then there's the cello part. D, A, B, F, R, G, D, D, A. Same eight notes, 137 measures. I'm not kidding. Are we done yet? Oh, I can't take it. I can't do it. Eight notes. Literally 137 times. It's harmony, if you're a cello. Okay. So, thank you, William and Marla. Here's the thing. Much like tonight's Blue Christmas service, it is worth looking deeper than the shiny, perfect finish of the holiday to recognize that there are parts we all play in God's story that don't feel glamorous. We don't all get to be Mariah Carey or a violinist. I don't know if I want to be Mariah Carey and nothing perfect. You're a violist, so it's okay. I want you to hear a few verses from the Christmas story, removed from their larger context. So often we hear Linus's voice and just hear the whole story, or, you know, we get the Christmas story and it just flows and we know it and we don't stop to think about what's being said in it. Hear a few of these verses. Long before the baby within her leapt at Mary's arrival, Elizabeth, Mary's cousin, was lonely and unsupported. Hear the scripture. Zechariah's wife Elizabeth then became pregnant and had to keep it to herself for 5 months. No baby shower for that one. Then you have the young girl whose life was not her own anymore, which is true about becoming pregnant in general, but this one has even more layers to it, right? Mary, this beautiful figurine in the... And Mary said, I'm your servant, Lord. Let it be just as you have said. Or the one about the guy who had to do this great distance amongst the greatest traffic ever known at the time, trying to get his pregnant, soon-to-be wife there with him. Since Joseph belonged to David's house and family line, he had to pack up and travel to the city of Nazareth in Galilee, all the way to Bethlehem, which is in Judea. And he had to go to be enrolled in a tax census together with Mary, who, though she was promised to him in marriage, was already pregnant. And then it's like the angel choirs. They didn't exactly show up to an excited crowd in a concert hall. Nearby, shepherds were living in the fields, guarding their sheep. If you like these, I've got more. You start looking at the innkeeper, the animals, the wise men's entourage, the people throughout the story. We get this big grand sense of what Christmas can be about, but if we stop and look, there are a lot of people playing the same eight notes 137 times, or just singing, ooh, to the choir's beautiful song of joy. If you take this apart, it is filled, our Christmas story is filled with simple, pedantic, boring components that are not noteworthy in any way by themselves. And that's really what the message here is all about. Harmony only works when people come together, whether in voice or an instrument. As beautiful as a solo is, solos never have the interest and complex beauty of an ensemble, like we'll hear during our offering time today. Or an orchestra. William, I love hearing you play solos, but when there's music behind you, suddenly it just carries in a different way. I think about a single voice or the joy of having our choir up front. What a beautiful and powerful sound it is together. Because much like the Christmas story, a lot of us know the melody quite well. It's what's happening behind that melody that brings the true depth and the movement to our souls. Just as the depth and the movement of the Christmas story appears in all of these unnoteworthy places, that's actually God's gift of great joy for all people, because it's for all people, including the people who aren't sure about their role in it. I mean, because if God couldn't appear in the simple places, if God didn't lift up the lowly, if God overlooked the forgotten, if God dismissed the supporting sounds of all of the harmonies of life, then the good news of great joy would not be for all people. All of the scriptures that I shared with you this morning are essential to the Christmas story. Even though as fragments, they can often sound unimportant. Because they're not fragments. They are a part of a beautiful, complex, intricately woven story. And that's true for each of us today. Our invitation into community, our opportunity to claim a place in what God is doing, our responsibility to be who we are and live the life that God created for us, those things matter. Because God is continuing to do what God has always done. Bring good news of great joy to all people amidst the imperfection of our world. Everything that happened in the Christmas story is happening again. God is arriving to be present among us. God is arriving to fulfill a promise of relationship. God is arriving to bring about a kingdom of hope and peace and love and joy. It is happening again. And I know there are days that it doesn't feel that way. I know there are days that feel more unnecessary than an alto part, or days that feel more boring than a pacobelcello. And it's hard to hear the promise of God's arrival into that. We can feel detached from these promises of joy. But I want you to consider the Christmas story. 3 seconds before the angel showed up, do you think the shepherds would have described themselves as players in the greatest story ever told? Think about how they felt and who they were before that moment. Or think about the innkeeper's daughter, technically not named in the story, but work with me here. Think about that innkeeper's daughter whose job it was to go out and clean the stable and fill the feed box with hay that morning. Do you think she could see past the daily chores required of her into the amazing stage that she was setting? Even people with clear melody parts could not have anticipated the entirety of the Christmas story and what it would sound like when all of the parts God had created came together. And that is our joy. That is our invitation to add harmony to this eternal Christmas song as hope and peace and love and joy are born again. We, in all of the normalness of our lives, get to join the heavenly chorus simply by being and offering who we are. Amen.